Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will start our puja. Yes, somewhere. Yeah, Kai took it. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1, then we will start the puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vēramanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnādānā vēramanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vēramanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mūsāvādā vēramanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmērayā macchāpamādathānā vēramanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. We are now chanting Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me khayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang afrika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang ādivāse tuno bante pāle parikāpitaṃ anukampaṃ upādāya pātigaṃhātu mutamaṃ ādivāse tuno bante bhojanaṃ parikāpitaṃ anukampaṃ upādāya patiganhatumutamang. Now we will make the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami or generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. We are off the light, so that you can start your meditation. I think tonight everybody is here before, so you can have more time. Maybe I will allow you 30 minutes of meditation. For those who still need to train the mind, you go ahead. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Okay. To develop this meditation is very simple. Like I said, you have to check whether you have the spiritual faculty or not. If the spiritual faculties are there, the five spiritual faculties, then you can be peaceful. The meditative mind will come on very fast. The moment you settle down, silent, you are already mindful. The silent mind without thought is already mindfulness. You don't have to do anything. The moment you are silent without thought, relaxed and aware, you are already mindful. For those who are still new, if your spiritual faculty are still not there yet, then maybe you may need to train this mundane mind or heedless thinking mind. You can use the skillful means as taught by us early on. First, you can develop the mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness or metta, to bring about the deconditioning of the heedless thinking so that you are more calm, more peaceful. Mind sweeping method involves just silent, relaxed and aware. You start off by relaxing body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight. Then close your eyes. Relax body and mind, then maintain attentiveness or attention at the forehead. Then you feel, you don't think, just feel. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax them all. Soothingly relax, feel it soothingly relax. Then you sweep this awareness or attentiveness down to your facial muscle, to your eye muscle. Again, feel, relax, don't think. As you develop more and more skill, your mind become more and more quiet, where it is just training itself to be at the location you want it to be. Then you just silence everything and just feel and relax every part within your facial muscle or whichever part you locate your mind. Then to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy, When you have joy, you are relaxed, you are happy. Then the facial muscle naturally relax. Then you radiate loving kindness and metta to bring about inner well-being. Inner peace leading to inner well-being is a very important meditative state. Then you can radiate, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells of your body. Then you radiate further. May this body and mind of mine too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can continue this metta to all beings, including our loved ones. Then after that, you come back to facial muscle. Then you sweep it down further. Then just relax and silent. Then the mind will become peaceful, quiet, calm. Then you anchor it to a skillful means or object of meditation. It can be anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Whichever object of meditation that you are more suited to or more familiar with, you can use them. Okay, I'll let you develop the meditation on your own. Then after about 25 minutes, I will ring the bell. Okay. else still wants to meditate, you can continue for those happen or not. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner awareness, or inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. I will now chant the Pali. Devaradana. Samanta Chakalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Itipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttarang Punyaka Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusanang Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dittiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahoneyo Pahoneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Jap. Padang Pujemi Damang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Before we start the Diamond Sutta, anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question? Anybody? If you want to report your meditation or ask any question, you can just raise your hand. Yeah? Then we'll pass you the mic. Oh, don't have. Okay, don't have. Then we turn to page 85. We are at chapter 11. Before we start, we will read the opening verse. Turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 85. The title is The Supremacy of the Unconditioned Blessing. So this title itself is of great significance. Okay. Before we go into Chen Hua's version, maybe I'll read to you the other version. Subhati, if there were as many Ganges river as the number of grains of sand in the Ganges, would you say the number of sands, or number of grains of sand in all those Ganges river, would be very many? The English word, not so good. Subhati answered, "Very many indeed." Means a lot, eh? Most honored one. If the number of Ganges rivers were that large, how much more so would be the number of grains of sand in all those Ganges rivers? Subhati, I will declare a truth to you. If a good man or a good woman fill over 10,000 galaxies of worlds with the seven thresholds, for each grain of sand in all those Ganges river, and give it all away for the purpose of compassion, charity, and giving alms, would this man or woman not gain great merits and spread much happiness? What do you think? Sure, the amount of merits and blessing is immeasurable. What's the word we should use? Enormous, very, very enormous. But then Subhati replied, he said, "Very much so," means really enormous, most honored one. Then after that, the Buddha said, "Subhati, if after studying and observing even a single stanza of this Diamond Sutta, another person were to explain it to others, the happiness and merits that will result from this virtuous act will be far greater than the above merits and blessing." So now you see how powerful the Diamond Sutta's wholesomeness is all about. When you can understand the Diamond Sutta, you understand the supremacy of the unconditioned blessing. Means the wisdom that you have developed is based on no mark. No mark of a self doing it, no mark of a living being, and no mark of any Dhamma or whatsoever. Because it is free of mark. It's from the unconditioned wisdom. That's why it's true emptiness. And true emptiness can give rise to great blessings. And this type of blessing is not from the thought. That's why the normal type of cultivation, materialistic gift or what, that arise through the thought, they are of no comparison to the amount of wholesomeness that can arise from this cultivation of the Diamond Sutta. Then when you have developed the ability to understand even one single stanza, then you teach it. And another person will to explain it to others based on the understanding, the merits and blessing that can arise is far more than all the seven treasures that this man or woman offered to all the world system of this Ganges River, as many as the sands on all this Ganges River. They are still not comparable. So what it wants to let us understand is that this field of merits that you can develop through the cultivation of the Diamond Sutta is real merits, not the ordinary cultivator's merit. That's why all Buddhas, Sammasambuddhas, they have to develop this cultivation if you want to become Sammasambuddha. So now we go to turn to page 85. We go straight into Xuanhua's version. According to Master Xuanhua, the Sutta said, Subhati, if there were as many Ganges River as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River, what do you think? Would the grain of sand in all those Ganges River be many? Subhati said, again, the word very many. Well, another one. The Ganges River alone would be incalculable. How much the more so the sand in them, grains of sand in them? Subhati, I will now tell you the truth. If a good man or a good woman use the seven precious gems or treasures to fill the 3,000 world system equal in number to the grains of sand in all those Ganges River and give them as a gift, would he obtain much blessing? Subhati said, very much indeed, well honored one. The Buddha told Subhati, if a good man or a good woman were to receive and hold from this Diamond Sutta even so few as 4 lines of the verse and speak them to others, his blessing and virtue would surpass the former's blessing and virtue. So this is to explain or express to us the supremacy of the unconditioned blessings. So Diamond Sutta has its uniqueness. When you develop the cultivation with understanding, it can be very powerful. So a single stanza can have only 4 lines. That's why it's so powerful. Then we turn to page 86. Commentary by Xuanhua. This section of the text said that blessings and virtue which are devoid of outflow surpass blessing and virtues with outflow. You know what are outflow in there? What are outflow? The mark is correct, but there's another explanation that they earlier on explained in the Heart Sutta. You see, according to Mahayana, the Arahana, after they become enlightened, fourth stage of sainthood, they still got outflow. What does it mean? Outflow of what? They have actually developed the wisdom to extinguish the birth and death of the segmented life, but they have not developed the ability to cease the outflow. Outflow of what? Thought, yes. That's why this outflow, according to this section of the sutta, he said, this section of the text says the blessing and virtue which are devoid of outflow. Devoid of outflow means even the mundane mind also collapse. There is no more outflow of thought. Birth and death of the thought also cease. And this type of blessing, devoid of outflow, supreme blessing and virtue, when compared to the one with outflow, there is no comparison. That's why he said, this section of the text says that blessing and virtue which are devoid of outflow surpass blessing and virtue of with outflow. That unconditioned blessing and virtue surpass conditioned blessings and virtue. So now you understand. Means even at Arahant level, whatever they do, they can develop a lot of wholesomeness. That's why they are great field of merits. Whatever four things you do, they are worthy of respect, offering, give, and hospitality. Any of this, if living being were to do all to them, the field of merits is immeasurable. But then, for those who have cultivated the Diamond Sutta until there is no more outflow, then the field of merits, born of the cultivation, blessings and virtue which are devoid of outflow, they surpass the blessing and virtue with outflow. So that is to show to us that the true cultivation, if you develop it until there is no mark, is way beyond the one that still has the mark. Then we continue. In a previous section, it was said that the fourth fruit sage of the small vehicle, you know what is this? Arahana, or the Theravada tradition. The Bodhisattva and the Buddha must not grasp at mark or have any attachment to self, to phenomena, or to emptiness. They must be entirely without attachment. Having no attachment, they obtain the fruit of Buddhahood. Though the Bodhisattva's adornment of Buddha land and the certification of the fourth fruit of Arahantship, suspecting there would be people who were still attached to the mark of giving, the Buddha further said to Subhati, look, in front of you at the Ganges River, Subhati, suppose all the grain of sand in the river were counted. The sand of the Ganges River is as fine as flour, so fine that a particle of sand cannot even be seen with the naked eye. How many grains of sand would you estimate are in the river? You could say that even the highest possible estimate still would not express the quantity accurately. Suppose then that each grain of sand in the Ganges River itself become a Ganges River. How many Ganges River would there be? Just as you cannot calculate the number of grains of sand in the Ganges River, so too, if each grain become the Ganges River, the number of Ganges River would be immeasurable. Then if you further attempt to reckon a number, the number of grains of sand in all those Ganges River, how much the more incalculable would it be? It would be impossible to conceive of such a number. All Subhati could say was, I am unable to conceive of the multitude of those Ganges River, to say nothing of the grains of sand in them. So all I can say is, very many. Translate in Mandarin is what? 很多. Very many, 很多. really a lot. That's why you read the English word, you become confused, very many. You must know it's all translated from Mandarin. The Buddha said, I will plainly tell you, I will speak the truth. Suppose a man or woman who have cultivated the 5 precepts and the 10 good acts. Good acts are the 10 meritorious actions. Uses the 7 precious gem of gold, silver, lapis, lazuli, crystal, mother of pearl, red pearl, and carnelian, enough to fill 3,000 great thousand. San qian wan, in Mandarin is what? San qian, da qian, si jie, whole system. Equal in number to the sand of as many Ganges river as was spoken of above to make offering. Would he obtain great blessings? In another section of the sutta, there was a mention of 3,000 great thousand world system, but not as many as 3,000 great thousand world system, as there are grains of sand in those incalculable numbers of Ganges River. The analogy has been extended several thousand of 10,000 of time. Subhati said that, although the blessing and virtue derived from giving, that amount of the 7 precious gems would be many. They would be the reward of the conditioned blessing. So that one is still equivalent to conditioned blessing, means within the mundane world. That is blessing and virtue with outflow. Anything conditioned eventually becomes extinct, and the presence of outflow keeps one bound to non-ultimate states. The Buddha then spoke of a man or a woman who cultivates the 5 precepts and the 10 good acts, and who receive and hold the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, means the Diamond Sutta, anywhere from lecturing the entire Vajra Sutta to receiving and holding no more than one of its 4 lines, gatha. To receive refer to acceptance in the mind. To hold refers to practice with the body. That is truly to listen and then to offer up your conduct. First you receive it with your mind. For example, the sutta says a bodhisattva should leave all marks in order to obtain anuttara samyat sambohi. You ponder that in your mind, a bodhisattva must leave all marks. Must mean he must not be attached to the mark of self, the mark of phenomena, or to the mark of emptiness. Once your mind understands, you actually undertake its practice. You give without the mark of a self, others, or the mark of a lifespan in between. Your giving is devoid of attachment of a giver, the recipient, and the gift given. You perform meritorious deed without involving yourself in the mark of performing meritorious deeds. Perhaps you receive and hold this 4-line kata. There is no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of living being, and no mark of alive. So these are the 4-line kata. You encounter someone and say, the Vajra Sutta say that we should be without a mark of a self. We should not see me as so important, nor should we be involved in the existence of you, the mark of others. If we have no mark of others, then there is no mark of living beings, and thus no mark of a life, because all this pertain to the conditional. We are talking about ultimate truth, the unconditioned. So the person listen and think, oh, you have to separate from all mark. One who can leave all mark is a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva does not say, I did that act of merits. I have this much virtue. I built a monastery. I pray in that sutta. He is devoid of such mark. That is, he truly forgets them. He doesn't just become fanatical about remaining anonymous, so that if someone asks, "Who printed those sutta?" he replied, "I don't know," when in fact he did it himself. This is an example of being too concerned with remaining anonymous. Is that clear? If you know something, say so. If you don't know, say you don't know. If no one asks, you don't have to volunteer all the details of your most recent meritorious deed. But if you print the sutta and forget it, so that when it is done, then there is no mark. However, although you forget it, no merits and virtue exist. When you have no outflow, the merits and virtue has no outflow. If you have outflow, the merits and virtue also have outflow. You can understand unconditioned Dhamma, your merits and virtue also become unconditioned. So this is dependent on your level of understanding. So this one is very important. So when it comes to example of no mark, is even the Quang Qing Lao He Sang one also very good. 做完了,没事. You don't go and carry in your memory, understand? Then I add in one, 听完了,没事了. Otherwise you become very confused. So this brings about a condition. Just now before we start, I think Elsie's niece, she came and asked me one very simple question, but it's very good. It's something to do with your conditioned mind and memory. He said he read through the seminar paper, then he found this word panya. He wants to understand more. He said, "What is this panya?" I said, "Wisdom." "Yeah," he said, "wisdom." But he said, "But till you say, this wisdom must be developed via direct seeing." She wants to understand what is direct seeing. So how you explain to her? Anybody want to try? It will be very good. Yeah, I mentioned in the book there, this wisdom can be realized via the direct seeing. If I'm not wrong, I was talking about the spiritual faculties. Then when I came to sati and samadhi, when you can be in sati and samadhi, when the two spiritual faculties of sati or mindfulness and samadhi, the collectedness and unwavering mind, then this mind has the ability to be silent, to be unwavering and collected. And this mind can see things as they are. We are at the moment of sense experience because it is silent, without thought, without any chattering, without any conditioning from the brain. Then the mind is collected and unwavering, means it does not stir and react. That's why it can see things as they are, based on the direct perception. And through that, you can awaken, you can insight into phenomena. You can develop the wisdom there and then, and you can understand all phenomena, their characteristics, their impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature characteristics. So all this can come about. But then why did we use the word direct seeing? What is the meaning of direct seeing? Of course, you can tell me seeing things as they are. But what does that mean? That's why now I want to lead you into this so that you really understand. Maybe I will use the whiteboard. Panya, which is the Pali word, equivalent to wisdom. Okay. Border direct seeing. Leading to wisdom or ability to see things as they are. Should be seeing. Okay, anybody wants to explain this? It will be very good training. Huh? What do you understand by direct seeing? Seeing things as they are. You cannot understand this, then how do you develop the cultivation? True or not? True or not? So try, go. What do you mean by this? How come you must have sati and samadhi? Why is there a need to have sati and samadhi? Sati is mindfulness. Then samadhi is the collected and unwavering mind. Why do you need these two? These are spiritual faculty, remember? The third, the fourth and the fifth. The third and the fourth. Yeah. So now you tell me. Try to explain. Anybody want to try? That one also make noise already. You better put up your hand. Anybody wants to try? Because you have to understand this. If you cannot understand this, how are you going to cultivate? What do you mean by all these words? Pass the mic to PG, very good. Don't worry, just give it a try. Then we learn together.
From what I understand, when you say seeing things as they are, that means when your mind is calm, normally your senses do not arise, your opinions, your judgment do not come into it.
Very good, okay. That is the most important aspect. That's why I talk about the conditioned mind. Understand not? Just now we mentioned about memory. Then we talk about the unconditioned. No mark. That's why like Gong Qing Lao Sa, 做完了, 没事了. Why? Because living being, after you do what you do, you go and think about it, isn't it? Correct not? Through memory. Why did I do it like that? I could have done it better. Then, what is all those things? Those are memory, recollection. That's why you are not peaceful. You start to dwell on the past. Things that is already over. But you still want to do a what they call valuation over it or analyze it. So, what you're supposed to develop is an understanding. Whatever thing after you have done, don't go and worry about it. Understand? Don't go and create unnecessary thinking over it. That's like 做完了, 没事了. When you truly understand, there is nobody doing. Do you understand? Because there is no mark of a self, no being inside there. At that moment, when you are living life, you must have the wisdom. You must have yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. then you will know how to live. You will know how to act. That's why when you act based on wisdom, that's it, finish. No right, no wrong. You are conditioned like that, things will be like that. And through your understanding, you will know how to act. Then even if you don't have the wisdom, what are you going to do? Through delusion, you also act. Understand? Acting out of memory means acting according to your fear, your worry, your conditioning, your belief system, your views and your opinion. That is also action. And that one has all the evil roots on. Greed, hatred and delusion, selfishness and all those things. So whatever action you have committed is already recorded under nature's law of karma. That's why 做完了, 没事了. You think about it also same. Don't think about it also same. It's not going to change. The fact is the fact. The reality is. But you can tell me, what do I want to learn from it? Do you agree to that statement or not? Yeah? I want to learn from it. Most people who are intellectual, they will agree on, yeah lah, if I don't recollect the past, how did I know I made the mistake? That's why I learn from mistake. You always say so. Isn't it? But the real wisdom is not like that one. Learning from mistake means what? Through memory, understand? So you every time use memory, no? Last time I act like that wrong, no? Ratatio say wrong, no? So what you do? Because you don't investigate yourself, you don't develop the understanding. Because wisdom is not rigid, remember? Wisdom is not a knowledge. You cannot learn one. You must awaken to it. So there is no such thing as you learn. No? That one is all through thought, through memory, justifying. So that in future, you try to recall through memory what you had done because of your regret, your remorse. Then you try to correct yourself. So who is trying to correct yourself? Yeah? The thought. And the thought is still egoic, selfish. How can it learn? It cannot learn. It's always using memory, using your knowledge, your views, your opinion, your conditioning to improve upon your action. And that is not acting at all, like Krishnamurti said. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. What you need to develop is understanding, wisdom. That's why you need the direct seeing. When you awaken, you are no longer deluded. Means the phenomenal world has no more power over you. All those evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, born of your delusion, believing that you exist, self-delusion, or things are permanent, can lead to happiness, joy, and you can own it, hold on to it, cling on to it, and grasp on to it, thinking that they are real. That's why if you cannot awaken through the direct seeing to see the unreality of the phenomenal world, their impermanence leading to suffering, their empty nature, non-self nature, you will always act wrongly. You will always get yourself entangled. That's why you use thought and memory, no point. But in life, you will be surprised. A lot of human beings do that, understand? They say, learn from your past mistakes and experiences. Intellectually, it can be done. You improve your action because you say you learn, understand? Yeah. But that is through memory. So that type of action can be like an improvement over the earlier action, but it's still not born of the direct seeing, not born of the wisdom. It's born of knowledge, intellectual knowledge. Means according to you, based on your thinking now, based on your conditioning now, this is a better action, this is a better way to act. But as you progress, as you develop the awakening, then you look back, you realize that is still with outflow, is still with the conditioned mind, it is still not born of wisdom. You are not acting according to wisdom or understanding. You act according to memory. That's why Krishnamurti say acting according to memory is not acting at all. So just now what PG tried to explain is very good. Well, most of the time we have our views and opinion of things, our conditioning of things. So when you don't develop this type of wisdom born of the direct seeing, you will always use memory. And humanity over the ages or eons, millennium, have been using memory, have been using thought. That's why we have so much of this human agony, mental suffering, mental misery, all because of the result of memory and thought. Not to say memory and thought is no use. There is a use. Memory is very useful. Thought is very useful. To come to this world, to live life, you have to have memory. You have to use thought. But the user of thought and memory must have wisdom. You understand? Thought is like money. Memory also, in a way, like money. If the user know how to use, then money become good, wholesome. Likewise, your thought. If the user of thought is wise, thought become right thought, wholesome thought. Free of evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then memory become proper. Means like a tool, T-O-O-L. If that tool is to serve you, then you must use it appropriately. Like a knife, for you to cut fruit, shape vegetable, or do carving, or those things. But you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit or at others. That is the wrong way of using that tool. True or not? So likewise, memory is the same. Memory is like a tool, a useful tool for you to use. So use it appropriately. Use it to store all the important memories. What are the important memories? Huh? What are the important memories? Huh? What are the things you like to store? Your bank account, how you sign your checkbook, where you live, your address, and all those things. Understand? Then, where you put all your investment and all those things. Then, who are your spouse, your wife, their name all. You need memory, understand? Then their handphone number. Then if you got Swiss bank account, your Swiss bank code. You must have them. Then nowadays, everything is about thumbprint and what they call digital. So memory has its use for mechanical things. Like when you are doing a contract or whatever job you are handling. So there are dates that you have to remember, like date of possession or site. Then date of completion. Then if there is any delay, the they call it liquidated damages, L&D. So you need to remember all this. Then the consultant, the owner, and all those people that you deal with, you need memory. These are perfectly okay. But you don't go and cling to all this memory. You let them stay on as memory, because these are not psychological things. But when it comes to psychological things, you should not deposit them into your memory bank. Understand? Do you understand? Like your scars of memory. What are your scars of memory? Yeah? What are your scars of memory? Let us write it down. Otherwise, it won't go in. What are your scars of memory? Yeah? Huh? Ah, misery, correct. Scars or memory. First, of course, your misery, your sorrow, your lamentation. What else? Ah, phobia, Fear is phobia. Phobias. Your hatred, your anger, your envy, jealousy, Hatred. Anger, envy, jealousy. Jealousy. Some more? Your insecurity, Phobia include your fear, So this one include your grief, sorrow and lamentation. Sorrow, lamentation, and all your unhappiness. So all these are your scars of memory. So if it's your scars of memory, why do you want to hold them? Why do you want to attach to them, cling onto them? What happens if you attach and deposit all this into your memory? What is thought? What is thought? How do you think? What is thought? Thought is what? Thought is? How do you arise thought? Respond to memory. So this is how you arise your thought. Thought is respond to memories. So when you deposit your scars of memory into your brain, that's why when you act according to memory, you have your fear, your phobia, your misery, your sorrow, your lamentation, and all these things will surface. Where you will create those thoughts because you recall them through memory. So why must you deposit all this? Memory is not to store psychological things. All these psychological things are your selfishness, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your delusion, your scars of memory, your fantasy, your desire, your lust. That's why you keep on recalling them. Wherever there is condition, then this becomes heedless thinking, habitual tendency. That's why when you deposit all this, which is the wrong way of living life, you will have all this problem. That's why the scars of memories you recall, and you will have all this fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, haunting you, creating misery in you. Then even before reality set in or happen, that thought project, and instantly you develop fear, you develop phobia, where you recall that unhappy past. And this is the one that condition you into all these negative tendency and mental states. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. You don't use memory. That's why there is another aspect of mind. When you are able to meditate, develop the spiritual faculty through the direct seeing, you develop what? You develop what? Wisdom. So you act according to wisdom. You're supposed to develop the direct seeing to develop wisdom. So this is the aspect, wisdom. When this is connected to your nature, what happened? That form and mind. When you are born into this world, before you develop the understanding of meditation, this five aggregate of form and mind Five aggregates of form and mind. So this one, before this wisdom is connected to it, you are just a normal puttujana. You know what is a puttujana or not? What is a puttujana? Unenlightened being. Means you don't have wisdom yet. That's why before the Buddha became fully enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, he was just an ordinary form of mind, puttujana. But the moment he is connected and he has this wisdom born of the direct seeing, what happened? He is no longer deluded, isn't he? That's why he understands all of sankhara. That's why sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of mental activity, the content of consciousness, they are impermanent. No reality. They come and they go. But if you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, and attach, and give meaning, suffering arises. That's why the universal characteristic of impermanent will lead to suffering. Because through your delusion, you want things your way. You want it to be permanent. You cannot understand this universal characteristic that all of sankhara, scars of memory or whatever, is just a thought. It's just a thought. How come it has such power to make you miserable, depressed, fearful, and all those things? So this one will lead to insomnia, depression, and all those things. So when you understand that it's only a thought, impermanent, sabbe sankhara anicchang, impermanent, that's why it will lead to suffering. Then you are not deluded by it. Then you will not be deceived. Means you act according to wisdom, you will not give meaning. That's why there is no mark. This form of mind is not you. Because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. This is condition arising, law of karma. Karmically conditioned out for you to use. That's why use it. Do not be deceived and deluded by it. And this is not you. The wisdom born of the direct seeing is the one that allow you to act and free this form of mind. You can say this form of mind is awakened, no longer deluded. That's why it does not suffer. That's why all this will not have any effect on him. But not until you develop this wisdom, you cannot act this way. Where human beings' problem is, they have a lot of views and opinion and conditioning, their mind. They are so full of conditioning. Their belief system, their culture, their scars of memory, their attachment, their craving, their desire, their selfishness, their insecurity, their fear, their phobia, everything within their psyche, the content of consciousness, that is what they are. That's why the three evil roots, they are all there. And without wisdom, you cannot free. You cannot liberate. The consciousness cannot realize itself and cease and free. That's why enlightenment is about cessation, liberating the mind from the grips of all the delusion that mind perceives through wrong understanding, through self-delusion, wrong view. But just now I shared with the niece is even better. because she don't have Dhamma. So you know what I explained to her or not? Now maybe I explain to you, you will see the beauty of it. This is for those who has the Dhamma, who can understand. Then you can penetrate. That's why now I want you to go into the cultivation. I want you to understand why I keep on saying direct seeing. Means don't see with your memory, your conditioned mind, understand not? Your views and opinion and perception of things. So the example I give her is very good. I say, when you are attentive, observing, not exercising your views and opinion over what you see, then that is direct seeing, understand? Means you are not seeing according to what your memory tell you, what your views and opinion conditioning you to perceive. That's why I give her the example, somebody you don't like. How come the moment you see him, that memory recall, this guy last night did this to me, you have a negative perception of him. That's why you don't like him. This is not direct seeing. This is perverted seeing. You are seeing with your memory, with your conditioning, with your views and opinion of what he is, with the whole of your memory telling you. Then if you are selfish, what you do? You try to avoid him. Or you try to say, I got no time, I'm not free. Can you come back some other time? Please don't disturb me. And all these things. How come you become like that? Then the other example I give her is, when you want to understand your children, your maybe baby boy or baby girl, newly born, what must you do? You must observe him there. With what? Attentively just observe. Don't allow your views and opinion of him or her come in. Understand? So that you don't yell at him, scold him, and tell him to don't cry. Sit. I tell you, the baby is not going to do all these things. He's going to cry and make you miserable. Then you get more angry, you cane the floor. More tantrum. Then it doesn't end. But if you want to understand the kid, what you should do is you observe him. Don't have any preconceived idea of what he is. Then only you can learn. Then through your observation, with mindfulness, awareness, without memory, it is like a direct seeing. Means you are observing him without response, without an opinion or a view of who he is. Means you are learning, you are investigating, you're observing to find out what are his character. As a baby, how come he behave like that? How come other baby behave differently? And then through that observation, you will come to understand many things. His habit, his weaknesses, his problem, or his innocence. The cuteness, because they are very innocent. That's why they are very cute. When something go wrong, they will cry. Then when they are happy with joy, they just laugh. Because they got no fear, no worry, nothing. Understand? Baby is just baby. They just want to play. Then you will know how they actually develop certain habit. Then when they are about to fall, you will also know. That's why you laugh. Then when they fall, how they cry. Because pain. Then when they learn how to walk, that is the most cute. That's how. Then when they crawl, then they simply take thing and put into the mouth. Because they don't understand. And then you laugh. That's how you observe them. But you keep on scolding them using your views and opinion that you, boy, you must not do this. You must sit. You will never learn. Understand? So, direct seeing is quite similar. It's observation. That's why they call it awareness. Aware. Observe. Aware of yourself in action, in life. How you live your life. Then see your own greed. See your own fear. Your own phobia. Your own selfishness. your own craziness. Then you will laugh at yourself. That's how you learn. Then you will start to become more sensitive. Because you also aware how people cheat on you, deceive on you, lie to you, do all those funny things to you. That's why in Christianity there's a very good saying, don't do all to others what you do not like others to do all to you. There's a saying, something to that effect. If you don't like people to do this to you, then you don't do the same thing to others. Because likewise, they will feel hurt, cheated. Because all these are born of insincerity, selfishness, greed, motivated. Everything they do is selfish. There is a motive behind. Then when you start to see not only other people doing it, even you yourself at times you lie, you deceive, you cheat, you also have fear, insecurity, phobia, you also have your feelings. Then you realize that you are an organism. Of course, we call it a human being. That's why the Buddha say you are the five aggregate of form and mind. You have a physical body, physical form. You have a consciousness trapped inside the mind. What can your mind do? The mind can feel, can perceive, can arise thought process, mental activity, mental states. Then you can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. This is what you are. With the senses, with the mind able to allow you to arise the respective consciousness. Then you input the content of consciousness based on your memory, based on your conditioning, based on your views and opinion of things. That's why when you don't have right view with regards to the law, nature's law that governs life and existence, you don't have wisdom. You don't know how to live. You don't have right thought. That's why you have to develop right view to develop right thought. And the right views with regards to the five natures, universal law, universal order, panchaniyama are the most important. The first two are scientific. Uttoniyama and Bijaniyama means nature's physical law. All physical things obey that law, physics, chemistry and all those things. Then nature's biological order, Bijaniyama. All biological things, the plants, the animals, the amphibian, reptiles, everything, they follow this law. That's why biology. Then they call it genetic engineering and other things. All this follow this law. And because the scientists are able to actually progress so fast and become so advanced is because they have penetrated these two laws. They have developed a lot of understanding with regards to these two laws. That's why likewise the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, our Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, he is an expert in the other three spiritual laws. So like the scientist, he understands the law of karma, karma niyama, then the law of mind, chitta niyama, then the law of nature's truth, dhamma niyama. That's why he becomes like the scientist, an expert in the spiritual field, because he has penetrated these three great laws. That's why he understands the mind very well. He understands consciousness very well. He has perfected himself for so many eons. That's why he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And the moment he is connected under the Bodhi tree on that holiday of Vesak, he became the fully enlightened one. Then from then on, he acts with wisdom, understanding. Born of his past cultivation, he inherited them. That's why our cultivation is the same. You have to develop attentiveness to observe without prejudice, open mind, free from all the memory, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, the belief system and all those things. Your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, all this, put them aside. Empty the whole content of consciousness because these are not important. When I observing myself, observing a child, I observe your open mind. I assume I don't know anything. From zero base, square one, I find out. And then there is the reality. There is the truth. Then I see things as they are. Not according to what the book tell me. Not according to all the gurus and all those things. And this is investigation. Means forget about all the teaching. Forget about all the memory. I just silent, aware, attentively observe. That is mindfulness, silent. Through that silence, you will understand. You will awaken. Then you will see clearly your own mind state, your own phobia, your own fear, your own selfishness, your own conditioning that mold you and make you what you are. And through your delusion, self-delusion, how you attach, how you cling, and how you become miserable through your own delusion and stupidity and insecurity. And not knowing who you are, what you are, not able to insight into the universal characteristics of all phenomena, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, which has a cause behind. Attachment born of self-delusion, attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind. All this you can observe and find out. And you can put to test, investigation, all those teaching that the Buddha has shared with us. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. And even Dhammapada verse 183. The advice of the Buddha. So all this can become very clear. So direct seeing is attentiveness, the silent mind, without its memory, without its conditioning, that allow you to see things as they are. Then through this direct seeing, the observation of things as they are, you develop understanding. Then you know how to act. That's why it's an awakening, it's not a knowledge. It's not from memory. It's not the word. It's the actual realization of what those words mean. Otherwise, it becomes knowledge. Can follow? Very good. Any question so far? We still got half an hour. Quite good. Any questions so far? Yes. Pass the mic to... I forgot her name already. Tammy. No, I remember. Tammy, yeah. Yeah, can speak now.
Brother Teo,
yes.
I would like to chat with you about, like, in the dilemma. Because I used to catch saw myself in dilemma, like whether A or B is better. Then after you explain, I realized that it's really from the fear.
Yeah, the memory, your projection. Who perceive it as a dilemma?
Me.
The thought. The thought, which is you, egoic. So this egoic mind project. Why? Because you have selfishness. For me or not for me. That's why you say it's a dilemma. Both decision will bring about negative effect on you. Understand? Or your position. That's why this is due to your self-delusion, selfishness. But if you perceive with understanding, means what? This is the reality. Things happen already. Condition like that. Things will be like that. So if I don't take it personally as something, whether for me or not for me, then I see things as they are. Then I accept this as a reality. Then I ask myself, how can I act so that I don't harm anybody? How can I act amicably? Then how do you act? Before the wisdom comes, you act according to Noble Eightfold Path. Understand or not? That's why you develop right view first. To the extent you can understand. Because before you awaken, you cannot act with wisdom yet. But at least, as a guide, Noble Eightfold Path is very important. Are these based on right view? Right view means what? Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Means condition like that. It will be like that. This is a reality. No point perceiving it with negativity and fear. It will make me miserable. The form and mind suffer. No point. The reality is, condition like that, things will be like that. And I accept this reality. If I accept means what? I got no fear. I got no phobia. I got no problem. I don't even call it dilemma. I call it the reality. The reality is, things has happened. So my next question is very easy. Because once I don't worry about it, I don't allow it to project and develop the fear and the restlessness of mind, then I'm at peace. Then I have clarity. Then I ask myself, what are my options? How can I act? How can I resolve this thing amicably? Can you remember? Three things. Means accept based on right view. Things are just the way it is. Condition like that, it will be like that. Try to write down whatever you can. Later on, you re-listen again, you will get the whole correct recording. Record that. Don't worry. So, after that, you don't have problem because your thought don't project. There is no phobia. You don't even perceive it with negativity. Means it's not a dilemma. Dilemma is what your thought tell you. So when you are able to accept things as they are, according to right view, we are conditioned like that, things will be like that. Then you ask yourself, with this clarity of mind, I ask myself, what are my options? What can I do? And how can I resolve all this amicably? Amicably means what? Means I understand the law of karma. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to take advantage of things. But I still want to resolve it. Understand not? Your life is life. Even though it's not real, not you, form and mind. But this fellow, like the Buddha say, is really a human being, understand not? This one follow law of karma, understand not? That's why the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma. You are what you are because of karma. He is referring to the form and mind, not the eternal life, the eternal nature within, understand? He's referring to this form and mind. That's why this one has a duty. You must obey the law of karma. That's why you have to follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. That's why this one must act according to this law of karma. Otherwise, it will become afflicted. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, which are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You will reap the fruit of evil. That's why the law of karma will come after you. Your life will become afflicted. You will become miserable. When you act wrongly, speak wrongly, and arise a wrong thought, it will lead to evil action, evil speech, and thought process. And all this evil mental intention will condition negativity or karma. And when your karma falls, you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. You are what you are because of that law of karma. So your life will accordingly become afflicted, miserable. That's how living being has a lot of suffering. When they don't understand this law, they become heedless. They simply do things, but it's never worthwhile. That's why when you start to understand the Dhamma, you realize you have to empty the whole of your content of consciousness. You have to empty all of the negativity within there, all the evil roots, born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You must remove all of your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, your selfishness, your phobia, your fear. You have to empty all this from your consciousness. Because they are the three evil roots, the three poison. If you allow anger and hatred and fear and sorrow, lamentation to stay in your heart, they are the evil roots, make you evil. They are the three poison. They will kill you spiritually. That's why you have to root them out. Forgive and forget. Develop love, metta, and free all the negativity of mind, the selfish, the envy, the jealousy, the phobia, all. Free them, release them. They are not real. Who fear? What fear? Thought fear. And thought is not you. Thought project. Thought develop all this delusion and condition you to grasp, cling and have all this problem. Anger is not you. Phobia is not you. Jealousy is not you. They arise because of wrong view. Because of your self-delusion, you attach, you grasp, you cling. Because of your selfishness, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, all this. That's why when you empty all this out of your content of consciousness, out of your mind state, then your mind state will only have the Noble Eightfold Path quality of right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, mindfulness, sati leading to samadhi. Then you will continuously have the four right effort to purify your thought, your action, and your speech, and to strive on with heedfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then your mind will liberate and transcend. Then the form and mind become beautiful, a blessing to all. Then you can use it to live life to the fullest. Then you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And this form and mind is so beautiful. The five aggregate karmically condition out the vehicle and the tool for you to come to this world, to experience the good life, to develop the cultivation, the understanding, to be a blessing to all of humanity and nature. So all these are beautiful, great understanding that can evolve out of this teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha has shared with us. And this is the only free lunch, given free. But human beings never treasure or cherish this teaching which was given free. Maybe they got this idea, whatever that is free is not precious, not important. But you will be shocked, I tell you. This is the only priceless gem which is free, really free, because there is no price that you can equate it to. And this is one that can liberate living beings, not only human beings. This is the one that gives you the good life, the eternal life. Then today I heard somebody talking about mortality and immortality. Then the way J. Krishnamurti answer was very good. You know, this guy was trying to ask this Krishnamurti a question. He said, everybody is trying to search for immortality, to live forever, the eternal life and all those things. He asked Krishnamurti, is there such a thing as the ultimate Atman and all those things, or the super cell, or God, does God exist and all those things? Then Krishnamurti summarized everything and said, you are looking for immortality. Then they asked him, is there life after death? I tell you, you listen to the way he answered, that was the best. Those who asked him, does God exist? If God exists, can you explain to us how can we develop the ability to come into contact with God? You know how he answered, no? I tell you, you will laugh and laugh and laugh. He said, personally, if you ask me whether I believe, I never believe anything. To me, there is no such thing as God. He said, human mind create a God. Then human mind created the omnipresent and omniscient of God. Is it? That image that human being through thought created, human being worship that God. You understand what he said? You create that image, then you worship that image. You know? Then what you do? You pray, you chant, you meditate, you do everything, wanting to be that thing. But you never knew that thing was all the time projection from your thought. He said it's very simple. He said if God is like that, we are created in the image of God, then we should be like God, immortal, understand not? Eternal. Why are we not eternal, immortal? Then they ask him, what is death? He said, death is the most beautiful thing in this world. He said, what is living beings? You and me. Yeah. He said, you are the world. I'm also part of the world. Because he's talking about the universal consciousness or the planetary consciousness. The summation of all the individual is the planetary consciousness. So he said, we are like this big stream of consciousness, is it? Outwardly, we can be different, he said. You can follow. Like man, middle age, Chinese, Buddhist, then you are born in another country, maybe Christian or whatever. Is it? Outwardly, you can be very different. You can be an engineer, you can be a doctor, you can be a businessman, you can be a pastor, you can be a politician or whatever. Is it? Outwardly, we are very different. But inwardly, are we different? You also have your fear, is it? You also have your insecurity. You also have your lust, your craving, your phobia. All of the content of consciousness, your sorrow and your lamentation, your attachment, your misery and depression, whatever is it. As you go through life, all these are common to our consciousness, is it? So we are the same, is it? So what is death, is it? Who died? What died? He said, your memory died. If you can die with the understanding that you are going to empty your content of consciousness, which are your fear, your scars of memory, your phobia and all those things, that is the happiest thing in this world, isn't it? But these are the ones that cause you suffering, isn't it? And death is the very ending of all this, isn't it? Correct, huh? That's why he say your problem is you don't know how to die. You fear of that ultimate death, that one moment. He said, to die is to die every moment. Every moment where you empty your consciousness, when you don't hold on to your scars of memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, all this, you will not have problem in this world. Your selfishness, your perception of a self, an individual. That's why he said true love don't have all those things. The content of consciousness cannot give rise to love. Because this is thought, within the field of thought. That which is the timeless is not touched by thought. It don't have this content. He said it's only when you are free of all this content, means your attachment to all these views and opinions, belief system, conditioning, your fear, your phobia, your evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. It's only when you can detach from all this, empty all this content, then you can realize the timeless, which is beyond thought. And at that moment, you die. you die with all this, no more. That's why my teacher Ajayantra say the same. You must learn how to die before you die. Die of all your defilement is there. Root them out. Your phobia every day. Then your mind become beautiful. Then there is no center from which it will act. Because there is no self-delusion. There is no more I, me, the individual. He said, this I and me, the individual, is created by thought. We are thought separate. Thought segregate. Through what? Words. Concept. They create race. They create what they call religion. Nationality. They separate you. Then you are like an individual. No? Understand? No? Then you fight for yourself. Yeah? Most of the time you are selfish. Then when you are together as a country, you fight for your country, your nation. Then when the world is under attack, you fight for your planet. So your individuality keep on changing. But according to him, you are not an individual. The whole content of consciousness, this planetary consciousness, is a summation of each and every individual's consciousness. You are the world. The world is you. Because you are part of it. And you are from that stream that come. He used another word. He said that stream of consciousness is actually our karmic consciousness. Asana. From the law of karma. That stream. That's why he said, what is dying? Dying means, if you don't know how to die, what happened? You carry this content with you. Understand? Your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your evil roots, your self-delusion. Everything you carry. Then, what happened? You go back to that stream. Means, the law of karma continue to control you. He called it the stream. The mainstream. The totality of consciousness that has all this, what they call content, that is killing, causing all the suffering and the misery. He said, not until the so-called individual form of mind, he also used form of mind, realize this is causing suffering. When you understand the cause of suffering, which is your self-delusion, your phobia, your greed, your anger, your hatred, your individuality, your self-delusion, then you will wake up. Then when you analyze all this, means through observation, you see how you yourself get entangled and become afflicted, how other people get entangled and afflicted. Then all of a sudden, through this understanding or insight he used, you wake up. Then you step out of that stream. Means that wisdom, that intelligence, allow the individual form and mind to be connected with that understanding. And that one step out, he said. That's why that form and mind is not you. You also know. You can say that one enlightened, but it's not you. Understand? But he said that is the most beautiful thing. When that one understand, it has the understanding, it know how to die. It die every moment because it's not holding. That's why it live. It just live. That's why this is a tool and a vehicle for him to come. And he understand all this. But he don't like to use all these words and all this thing. To him, he just want to analyze things. And you know what he meant by immortality? The moment I die of this content, I'm immortal. Understand? What is immortal? No death, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. No, all this content. You are so peaceful, so beautiful, that eternal life. That is what immortality is. Why you want to seek it? Within time, which is the field of thought. You cannot seek immortality within the field of time. Immortality is the here and the now. The moment you understand, you are that. Okay? Can follow? Not easy. But at least today is good. Did I answer your question? Or your dilemma? Okay. So now you know what to do. Everything in life is the same. First, never perceive it with negativity. Who perceive with negativity? It's the delusion, isn't it? The thought, isn't it? Who has fear, isn't it? Because of their selfishness, the self-delusion. That's why it perceives according to the atta inside there. Good for me or not good for me. That's why it can project with all this content, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the dilemma and all those things. The memory you don't understand, it creates all the wrong thought. Because thought is respond to memory. You deposit all those rubbish inside there, which is the scars of memory, then you have all this. Then if you follow the wise one, like Kong Qing Lao Sang, 做完了,没事了, then there is no carry over the consciousness. Right? Like Krishnamurti said, every moment you empty it, you are not attached to it, because there is no mark of a self carrying all these things. But this form and mind, he said, he used the word the stream of consciousness. Is it from this stream you come? Is it? It's the law of karma that created the five aggregate of form and mind. You come, but before you connect, this five aggregate of form and mind has all the characteristics of this stream. Understand? This stream belongs to those who are with the law of karma. Understand or not? That has all this content inside there that can bring about suffering. There's a law of karma can punish them. Understand not? You reap what you sow. Then they don't realize that when you root all this evil root out, the fear, the phobia, the selfishness, everything, when you empty it from the content, then you liberate from that stream. You walk out of that stream. That's why the only way to escape from that stream is to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to liberate. Empty from that stream means what? Avoid all evil, all the evil actions. Then your karma become good. Then you reap what you sow. Then all of the wholesomeness, the love, the phobia, all they will manifest beautifully within your consciousness. And that consciousness is not of thought, not of time. It's beyond thought, beyond time. That's why the blessing is like the Diamond Sutta say, the unconditioned blessing is supreme. Understand or not? That's why the title here, Supreme. The supremacy of unconditioned blessing. So when you have this understanding, you liberate. Then you realize when the consciousness is empty of all these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, your life becomes beautiful. You reap what you sow. Your law of karma take over. And you become so beautiful. And when you purify your mind and awaken, connected to the wisdom, then you completely free and liberate. Then that form and mind is like out of that stream. But that form and mind is not you, understand? It's condition arising. That's why elements will go the way of element. Then the mind finally realizes itself through that wisdom. It never have to come back to that stream. Understand? That's why Bodhisattva, they don't come to rebirth. They don't come to death consciousness condition, rebirth consciousness. They come through love and compassion. Yeah, these are the pure thought, the pure mind. And you need mind to come back. We are that stream. Before the content went in, is pure. But through delusion, the content become contaminated. That's why you have to purify your mind of all this evil root, the evil content, the greed, the hatred, the selfishness, the phobia, the insecurity, the scars of memory. All this you have to empty them. That's why memory, you must know how to use them. You don't just... Everything also deposit inside the hand. So at least the computer is smarter than you. He need it only, he go. That's why he call it RAM, random access memory. I need, I access it. If I don't need it, I don't access it. Then the other one they call ROM. What is ROM? Read only memory. He read only. Answer not? Maybe the third one. 读完了没事了。做完了没事了。听完了没事了。读完了也没事了。That's why the computer got no emotion. Understand not? The computer is just robot. And it has all the memory there. And it can calculate so fast. No? You know, yesterday I was watching this CCTV 9 news. China has come out with one supercomputer, you know, the fastest, never built before. The present moment, the number one. He said, within 1 second, you know how much data it can compute or not. Last time you call all this mini supercomputer, all this, like very fast, very fantastic. He said, now you put together, don't know how many 100,000 of these supercomputers, their calculation, their performance, within 1 second, he can do faster than them. You look at the way they link all these things up. That's why Krishnamurti say, finally, if human consciousness, they don't have the wisdom, computer will take over many, many aspects of their life. And he quoted, maybe only a few things computer will not do for them. He said, they asked him what? He said, like you want to have real sex, computer cannot do it for you. he really said that. He said, all the other things computer will take over. And there are many things that he was able to foresee. He has a very beautiful brain. Then there's a group of Buddhists that spoke to him also. I tell you, they really can't understand him. But he was very patient with them. He was very patient with them. Okay, we better end. I think 10:30 already. We better end. Maybe I will... Sadhu. You can rejoice. I will read to you the page 88. Wow, such a nice number. Page 88, the last 4 lines. Perhaps you choose the line which says, because earlier on, so now say, you can understand the unconditioned Dhamma, your merits and virtue will also become unconditioned. Then he said, perhaps you choose the line which says, if one sees me in form, if one seeks me in sound, he practices a deviant way and cannot see the Tathagata. So this one you understand, because these are all within the field of thought. The form is perceived by the thought. So if you seek him in sound, means the voice, these are conditionalizing things. They are still within the field of thought. That's why you cannot. Means the Buddha say, they practice a deviant way. And through this, you cannot see the Tathagata. What did the Buddha say? He who sees the Dhamma sees me. That's why you have to have the direct seeing beyond thought, beyond mind. The direct seeing that allow you to see things as they are, beyond thought, beyond mind. Otherwise, you cannot perceive his Dhamma. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko. And stand up to investigation, ahipasiko. Then sanditiko can be realized in the here and the now before the form and mind separate or die. Krishnamurti, the way he confront death is the best. He say, why are you all so scared of death? He asks him all sorts of questions. Is there life after death? What continue after death? What happen after death? But you see the sword fighting show on Tamo Chu Si, you remember? The emperor asked him, he said, I don't know, I haven't died yet. I think in the monastery that somebody asked him, after death, what happened? He said, I don't know, I haven't died. You got no point explaining to them, because they cannot understand. So why do you want to waste your time? Yeah, they are still within the field of thought and they are still going through all this. So when you develop the clear understanding, you will understand everything very clearly. And I like the way Krishnamurti answer all these people. He very patient, or no? I have never seen him even raise his voice or get angry what people tell him. Some of these people are very confrontative. They like want to corner him. He said, "You don't believe in reincarnation." He said, "This is absurd." This. He said, "Why you must wait till death to reincarnate? Every moment you reincarnate, is it? Reincarnate means what? You carry your wisdom over, understand? Huh? You empty your content of consciousness. Why you want to wait till death only reincarnate, is it? And that one you can never know, is it? Where you die already, is it? That's all. So who reincarnate and what reincarnate? And the best thing is, you spare me 5 more minutes. Huh? This one very important. No? He said, one lady, elderly man came to see Krishnamurti. You know. He said, "I have this very severe sorrow, lamentation. My wife passed away. I miss her so much." You know what Krishnamurti told him or not? "Oh, is that so? Which aspect of your wife did you miss? Is it? Is it when you are making love with her? Or is it when she listen to you? When she wash your clothes, cook for you, give birth to beautiful children for you? Or when she's angry at you, jealous of you, hate you, did all those things to you? Which part of your wife that you miss?" This man stunned. No? Then only he realized the foolishness. No? The wife was an image created by his thought. No? Will he become lonely? No? He said, "Your problem is you become lonely after your wife passed away. You attach to your memory of all her good things. Even your quarrel with her, that was your relationship. No? That was the thing that add flavor to life." Understand? Now that he is no more there, you become lonely. You become miserable. You suffer. Then you attach to those memories. Then you say you miss her so much. Then when Krishnamurti asks him, "Which aspect of your wife did you miss?" I tell you, that one really wake him up. Wake him up. You are being trapped in your memory, field of thought. Your whole content of consciousness is not empty. That's why attachment to the 5 aggregate of form and mind is suffering. Now you understand. Huh? The reality is that wife, form and mind, dead and gone. That is the reality. If someone wanting your way, I miss her. That's why Krishnamurti didn't outrightly reject him and tell him all the Dhamma. You think he can understand? He asked him a very sincere question. He said, "We investigate it together. I understand why you are miserable. Because you are lonely, is it?" Then he said, "Which aspect of your wife did you miss?" That one was the one that wake him up. Because attached to the happy moments, whatever that they share together, the memory keep on recalling. As you reach your house, you recall the good time you have with her. Even the tit and tat and the quarrel was part of the delicacy of life. So that's why when you understand all this, you will laugh at it. What is there to hold on to? Sabbe sankara anicang. Then? Sabbe sankara hadukang. Someone want to, "I miss her, And who is saying all this? The thought, understand? Which is sankara, the content of consciousness. Why can't you empty it? Not until death, you cannot empty this flow. But the trouble is, you cling on to all this before you die. That's why you don't know how to die, understand? Then what happened to you? You go back to that stream, understand? You go back to that law of karmic stream. You have to come again. This one is, you have to come. not you choose to come. You understand the difference. You have to come. There is no free will, no choice. You have to come, means you have to come. That's why you must learn how to die. Die without all this. But when you die with all this attachment, your anger, your hatred, your sorrow, your vengeance, your whatever scars of memory, I tell you, you are going to be miserable after that. You are not going to be free. But when you die with understanding, there is real release. And actually, you can die every moment in your life when you understand. When you don't hold, when you have a free mind, silent mind. That's why the niece asked me, Virtue, is it possible to be throughout the day mindful, aware, in a meditative state? I said, possible. I said, maybe take time. Not necessary. When you understand, you are already there. So all these are something that you can take home and reflect upon and develop the faith and cultivate sincerely. And it can be realized, not difficult. Okay, we finish. Otherwise, take up too much of your time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit in Pali. We save some time. Sharing of merit, Siddha Devas. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakhantu Lokasasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anumodantu Sabasamti Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Imina Punyang Kamena Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.